Raw tonight was the first episode coming out of Backlash on Saturday, and it was the kind of episode that if you were to wait until tomorrow and you were to watch the highlights that they put up on their YouTube channel, you could be through the show in 10 minutes and really not miss anything significant. Raw tonight was nothing of any great importance. Nothing that happened on this show was of any real great significance. We did get a hell of a main event, though, with Rhea Ripley and Io Sky taking on Julia and Roxanne Perez. And Julia got to main event her very first episode of Raw in her very first in-ring appearance on Raw, which was pretty cool, even though she lost. And they teased tension between Rhea and Io when the match was over. Both of them were locked eyes on the championship, so still teasing some issues between the two of them. AJ Styles and Finn Balor, they had what was only the fourth match, singles match, that they've ever had together. Fine match on the show. Nothing you need to go out of your way to see. A common theme on the show tonight was how dead this crowd was. They were in Louisville, Kentucky tonight. And it was pretty much the story with every match, or damn near every match on the show, where the crowd was just very, very quiet and didn't seem to really be particularly interested in anything outside of the entrances and, kind of key moments like that. Because what do they have? I mean, they had like, 10 or 11,000 people, I think, in the building tonight. And if you were watching this show, you would never really know it. You know, just watching the show was really, this show was deader than Boston's chances of winning three straight against the Knicks. It's just dead. But we have a new match added for Saturday night's main event. It is a tag team match. It is not the tag team match that I thought we would get, and maybe we still will, at Money in the Bank, but we're getting Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker against CM Punk, and not Roman Reigns, but CM Punk and Sami Zayn. They're going to be tag team partners. They don't entirely trust each other. So that was added to the card. We already know Jey Uso is defending the World Heavyweight Championship on that show against Logan Paul. But we also got the announcement tonight that there will be a World Heavyweight Championship match, not at Money in the Bank, but on the Raw after Money in the Bank. And Gunther will get the winner of Jey Uso and Logan Paul on that show. And so what does that mean? The fact that they're saving it for Raw and they're not doing it at that PLE, is that significant of anything? Maybe. I don't know. We'll talk more about that and get into the rest of this show. This is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday, May 12th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys for hanging out with me on a Monday night and kicking off the week with yours truly. Do me a favor. Hit that subscribe button. Like, leave a comment in the live chat. We got a whole bunch of people in here with us as we climb even higher. Super chats are open, and you will see them popping up on your screen as they come in. Any messages that do come in, I will be reading them. So if you have any questions or comments coming out of tonight's show, please do let me know. And if you missed episode 912 of The Sound Off, well over 2 hours long, a great episode. It went up yesterday, covering a lot of ground, backlash, fallout, other wrestling news, sad tweets, your questions, all kinds of content. Go check out episode 912 when you are done here tonight. Now, Raw ended last Monday with the return of CM Punk. He came out. He possibly cost Seth Rollins the World Heavyweight Championship in his match against Jey Uso. And he opened the show this week because CM Punk came out to the ring to address the audience. And he was not in a very good mood. But then again, when is CM Punk in a very good mood? CM Punk said that he was angry. And he was angry with a bunch of different people, but chief among them, number one with a big fat bullet, he said, is himself. Because this was not the first time that he has been betrayed by Paul Heyman. And he drew attention to the fact that at one time, Paul Heyman actually took a ladder and slammed that ladder into his head. So much so that Punk legitimately needed 13 staples to close the wound on his head. That was back at Money in the Bank in 2013. Turn on me once, shame on you. Turn on me twice, he said, shame on me. So that was his fault for giving him a second chance. Even Jey Uso, he said, warned him about Paul Heyman when he came back to WWE. He called Heyman a fat little snake. Fat and little, I mean, that's kind of contrary to each other. He called Heyman a fat little snake. He said, so yeah, he's mad at himself. He's mad at Paul Heyman. He's mad at that little Timu CM Punk Seth Rollins. Paul Heyman, you know how this ends. Says he can't wait to get his hands around his fat little neck and squeeze him until his eyeballs pop. So Heyman's voice, we hear Heyman's voice, and it interrupts, and Punk asks, so where's the penguin at? And he comes waddling out, and then he stops on stage. Punk warned him, whatever words you choose, they will be your last. So Seth Rollins makes his way out, and he is joined by Bron Breakker. Punk says, you're just a song, kid. You're just a song. At some point, the bell has to ring. Which is a wild comment to make about somebody who honestly is one of the best in-ring guys in the entire company. I mean, to use that line on of all people, Seth Rollins, you're just a song, kid, and then the bell rings. I wouldn't be using that insult on Seth Rollins. Rollins, Bron Breakker, and Paul Heyman, they're all out on stage, and they're not going anywhere near the ring. Rollins says that Heyman was Punk's best friend, and he was made to suffer because his life was made a living hell on the road to WrestleMania, and now Punk is out here gaslighting all of us, trying to make us believe that he, as in Heyman, betrayed Punk. Heyman believed in him for years when no one else did. Rollins believed that Punk was scum, that Punk was trash, that he's human excrement, or Hulk Hogan, as MVP would say. And now he stands in the ring as the reason why Seth is not the world heavyweight champion right now. Punk says Rollins won't ever be the world champion so long as Punk is on 2 feet. Seth says that Punk loves to play the victim. You want to die a martyr? Well, he says that can be arranged. And that's the cue for Bron Breakker to make his way down to the ring, and Punk attacks him with a microphone as soon as he gets into the ring. But now Rollins is there, and the numbers game. We see the numbers game, you know, time and time again here. Punk fights back, though. He double legs Rollins. Here comes Sami Zayn. Breakker dumps him, though, with an overhead throw. Rollins and Punk, they're going at it again. Now it's 2-on-1 all over again. So Heyman hands Seth a chair. But Jey Uso is in. He kicks the chair back into Seth's face. Sami grabs a chair. Punk grabs a chair. The great equalizer that it is, and the heels scramble out of the ring. And so that was the opening segment. Now, later in the show, they announced the tag team match that I mentioned for Saturday night's main event coming up on May 24th. It is going to be CM Punk and Sami Zayn on the same side as tag team partners for the first time since War Games. They're going to be taking on Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker. In the back later, may as well mention this part now. This came later in the show, but there was a backstage segment later on where you saw CM Punk sitting there in the dressing room, and Sami Zayn was sitting right next to him. You see the lockers behind them. And Punk admitted to Sami, you know, I'm having a hard time trusting anybody. And Sami had difficulty trusting Punk, he said, for War Games, but that all worked out pretty well. Said they both liked to do things their own way, and they had similar ambitions, but they would get nowhere with Rollins and Breakker standing in their way. Sami said that they could take them out together, and they bumped fists. Now, I know this is going to get people talking about the possibility of Sami Zayn turning on CM Punk, which they certainly teased it here. You know, Punk is being very standoffish, as he should be, given what happened to WrestleMania, really given what's happened in multiple places in his career. You could understand if he would be a little standoffish and distrustful of certain people. And that's what they want you to think, that maybe one will turn on the other or Sami will turn on Punk. I don't think that Sami Zayn is turning on CM Punk. Some people might think that. I don't think that's the direction they're going in here. It really wouldn't make any sense. I mean, think about it. If this were to end at, let's say, Saturday night's main event, and Sami Zayn turns on CM Punk, like, I really don't know why some people are actually giving this serious consideration here. Because if you really think about it, like, if that's all this is going to lead to, why wouldn't Sami have just taken them up on their offer from weeks ago to leave Raw, go to SmackDown, and be next in line for a shot at the WWE Championship, whoever wins a backlash between John Cena and Randy Orton? He said, no, screw you. Now he's going to turn against CM Punk and side with Rollins and his crew. I mean, unless he ends up being a mole like Kurt Angle was during the invasion angle, you know, for the Alliance, it doesn't make any sense. So I don't see that happening. I don't think he's got to worry about that. Now, before the opening match on the show, which was Penta against Chad Gable, a rematch from Penta's debut on Raw back in January, we got Pat McAfee making his way out to the ring, which was a bizarre time for him to make his entrance. Because initially, when they showed Michael Cole sitting at ringside, just before this match started, he was sitting there by himself, and he said his colleague Pat McAfee will join him later on. And then Pat's music hits, and he gets a full entrance on television, gets a full entrance, makes his way out to the ring, and he's slapping hands with the fans and, you know, fist bumping the camera guy, big smile on his face. This was 48 hours after he got his ass kicked by Gunther. So McAfee said that, well, I had to get cleared first by WWE Medical before they would let me out here. Michael Cole said that Gable was standing up for El Grande Americano after what Americano did to Penta at Backlash. He said Americano was on a tour of Mexico, even though there is no proof of this. There's no social media video or photos documenting this, but that is what he has been told. So here we had Gable standing in for the speed champion. So as I mentioned, this was a rematch from Penta's debut on Raw a few months ago. Penta did a dive out to the floor early. Gable nailed him with a headbutt out of midair as he flew out of the ring. And then he yelled, "Lucha Libre sucks," as they went to commercial break. Penta made his comeback coming out of that break. Gable, though, cut him off with a bridging German suplex for a two count. Gable flew off the... You know, I noticed it in this match that Chad Gable, you know, his physique, very similar to El Grande Americano. I don't know if that's evidence of anything, but it's almost like they could be brothers. So Gable flew off the top. Penta caught him with a code breaker. Gable came back with a moonsault for two and applied an ankle lock. Penta, though, immediately rolled out of it and hit a super kick. Gable was taunting Penta as they were standing on the ropes. Penta shoves him off, and Gable lands on his feet. Penta, though, follows with a Mexican destroyer off the ropes, and he spikes Gable, and he pins him to win the match. I am so very happy that we are seeing the destroyer used as a finishing move. It pleases me. It makes me happy. Now all we have to do is get back to Sami Zayn using the Blue Thunderbomb. At least every now and then. You use the Blue Thunderbomb as a finish. That would also make me very happy. By the way, all those people coming out of Backlash the other night who said that, well, Penta's buried now. Now he's just another guy. He's losing to fucking Dominic Mysterio, even though Dom is Intercontinental Champion right now. There were a few people who love using that word. Where are all those people now? You know, Penta looked pretty good for a guy who supposedly was 6 feet under. You know, people who are 6 feet under, they don't usually win matches. And this wasn't even the last time we would see Penta on this show tonight. So this was a nice win for Penta. I know Chad Gable never wins a fucking thing, but still, a win is a win. A win for Penta here on this show. But it takes talent, let me tell you, to be buried under the dirt and to still win matches. We go inside the Judgment Day clubhouse. Dominic Mysterio is talking to Liv Morgan, who is on the phone, because she's still in Japan for a few more weeks filming her movie. Meanwhile, Finn Balor, Raquel Rodriguez, Carlito, and JD McDonagh stood by. Dom was very much thrown off by Liv telling him good morning, even though he said it was the evening. It was nighttime here in Louisville. Not understanding the concept of time zones. You know what he needs to do? He needs to have a conversation with Hulk Hogan. And that way Hogan can explain to him how time zones work and how 1 year Hogan actually worked over 400 days traveling back and forth between Japan and the United States because of those time zones. So Dom spoke with Balor and recalled that, you know, he hesitated at Backlash when he had an opportunity to attack Penta. And that could have cost him the Intercontinental title. And Balor told him, "You're just getting paranoid like Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley did when they were champions. And then he added that everything worked out okay anyway at Backlash. And Balor said he would take care of AJ Styles tonight. Balor literally betrayed Damian Priest in his match with Gunther at SummerSlam last year. So I would say that he's got good reason to be paranoid. I'm just saying. We got a video package recapping the match from Backlash with Gunther and Pat McAfee. Come back live, and McAfee is waving to the fans in response to the great ovation that they gave him. One of the few great reactions, honestly, on the entire show tonight, because the crowd was mostly fucking dead. Michael Cole encouraged McAfee, go ahead, stand up. So he hopped up on the announce desk and he played to the crowd. McAfee sat back down. He talked about how every part of his body was sore, and he showed, or he claimed anyway, that his chest was all bruised. I'm looking at his chest. I'm like, his chest looks normal to me. But he says his chest is all bruised, and he claimed that one of Gunther's chops, and this may have been a shoot, popped a blood vessel in his eye. He said he respects Gunther even more now, and he thinks that maybe Gunther has a little respect for him and Michael Cole. Now, in case you were wondering, by the way, if this issue is going to continue, because I said, you know, coming out of Backlash when I did the review the other night, I said it didn't feel like this was going to continue. There was really no reason for it to. They did the match. Gunther won. He actually paid respect to McAfee when it was over, and he left. And so this just solidified it, because Gunther was on the show tonight, but he had nothing to do with Pat McAfee or Michael Cole, which was good. I'm happy about that. But if you're wondering, the issue is now resolved. It's time to move on. We have the War Raiders. Let's move on to this. Against the Creed Brothers with the New Day on commentary at ringside. Michael Cole said the winner of this match could earn a future tag team title shot. Not would. Could. Ivar made a comeback as they came back from a commercial break. Julius hit him with a superplex. Brutus followed with a moonsault for a two count. Eric rammed Ivar into Julius in the corner, but Brutus broke up the pin. Brutus gave Ivar an angle slam, which was actually pretty impressive. You wouldn't know that from the crowd, because they didn't really seem to give two solitary shits about it, but it was pretty impressive. Ivar tried a double hand spring elbow, but the Creeds caught him out of the air and slammed him. Eric broke up the cover. He tried to psych up his partner, but he got distracted by Xavier Woods. And Kofi Kingston then attacked Ivar as he went up top, which allowed, and the referee didn't see this, which allowed the Creeds to hit Brutus, or hit the Brutus ball for the win. And the New Day ran off looking quite proud of themselves. So the match, honestly, was solid stuff here from these two teams. And they were trying to get the crowd into it, but the crowd just, they weren't invested. And they didn't really seem to care much about this. Now, in the back later, during a commercial break, this was so important, it happened during the commercial break. The Raiders were complaining to Adam Pearce in the locker room about the New Day getting involved in their business. New Day interrupted. Everybody is shouting and yelling at each other. And Pierce says the Creeds are getting a shot at the tag team titles, but since the New Day want to continue to involve themselves in the War Raiders business, the Raiders are going to be involved as well. And so this match, and they didn't say when it would be, but this match is going to be for the tag team titles. So it's going to be a triple threat match, which is exactly what I was expecting. I mean, I didn't really expect them to do heel against heel for the titles. I mean, the division is dead enough as it is. You're going to take two heel teams and put them in the ring together? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I figured they were going to go the triple threat route. I want you to compare, okay, the Raw tag team division right now to what the SmackDown tag team division has been recently. I mean, it is night and day between these two divisions. And even now, I'm a little worried about where things are going to go with the SmackDown division, because all the stuff with the Street Profits and DIY and the Motor City Machine Guns and Pretty Deadly, it seems to have played itself out. Now you got Fraxium, right? They had a hell of a match with the Profits the other night. So it's good that they have, you know, a new team now that's up there in that division. And we'll see where it goes. But it's just a night and day situation between these two divisions. The Raw tag team division right now, I mean, it is ice cold. I mean, there's just nothing going on. You got the New Day, you got the War Raiders, you got the Creeds. I don't know if they're trying to replicate like what they were doing on SmackDown, but it's not working. And they need to try to balance things out a little bit better. And if that involves calling up a couple of new teams, I'm not even sure off the top of my head what those teams would be. But they have to do something because this is just boring. It's just fucking boring. And I don't understand how you can do what you're doing on SmackDown and then you look at what they're doing on Raw, and the Raw match is the one that went on the WrestleMania card this year. The tag team TLC match was the one that was relegated to TV, and thankfully they had a commercial-free third hour that week, so it actually worked out well. But just the idea that for all of the weeks and months that they invested in heating up or trying to heat up that tag team division on Friday nights, that when push came to shove on your biggest show of the year, it was the Raw tag team title match that actually got a WrestleMania spot over that one. It's just wild to me. But they got to do something with this division on this show. It's just no good. Backstage, Seth Rollins spoke with Bron Breakker while Paul Heyman looked on like a voyeur. Rollins said that their adversaries probably thought that they were winning the battle. Rollins said that they have no idea what he's capable of. And he said that he had one more thing he wanted Breakker to do before he took off tonight. And he got up and he whispered some sweet nothings in Braun's ear. And Braun perked up. We didn't know what he said, but whatever it was, obviously pleased Bron Breakker. Heyman smiled in the background. And then Rollins told Breakker, "And have some fun." And he patted him on the back, and he left. Now in the back, Adam Pearce told Jey Uso that you're going to hear something later in the show, but I wanted you to hear it from me first. And they bumped fists, and Jey started to make his way towards the ring. In the background, you can see Finn Balor in conversation with Roxanne Perez. It's the second week in a row that we have seen those two talking in the back about what we don't know, but that is now the second straight week of that. Now, during the commercial break, Kathy Kelly was up on the concourse. She was interviewing Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. And she asked about the elephant in the room, but Grayson Waller said they weren't there to talk about her mom. Oh, wait, hold on. There you go. See, this is why his segments air during the commercial breaks on this show. It would be like, where's my boy Sidro or Duff's Vids, right? It would be off the air during the commercial breaks that we would be hearing these jokes. So Waller tried to get Austin Theory a rematch with Sheamus, but Theory said that he already got Waller a rematch with Sheamus. Now, I want you to remember that, okay? I want you to remember what I just said, and I want you to keep that in mind because we're going to come back to that a little bit later on in the show, okay? So keep that in mind. We got footage from what happened after Raw went off the air last week. Jey Uso was shaking hands with fans when Logan Paul, dressed in a hoodie, punched him from behind the barricade. This happened, I remember people were talking about it in the chat as I was reviewing Raw. They're like, "Oh, Logan Paul just attacked Jey Uso," because he wasn't on the actual show last week. So they showed footage of that, and Michael Cole boasted that the footage had over 16 million views within 12 hours of going online. And let me ask you a question. Okay, you all watch this show. Actually, some of you might not watch this show, but you watch my show to get caught up on that show, and I love you for it. But if you watch Raw every week like I do, let me ask you an honest question. When you hear stuff like that, okay, when they have that those little factoids on the screen, or they have Michael Cole putting over the fact that this clip or that clip did 50 million views in a fucking 24-hour span, do you give a shit? As like the viewer of the show, do you care? Like, what are we supposed to do with this information? So the Logan Paul video of him punching Jey Uso in the face got 16 million views within 12 hours of going online. Are we supposed to cheer Logan Paul now? Like, wow, that's very impressive. I think I'll cheer for Logan Paul. I'd like to see him become world heavyweight champion now because he got 16 million views. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. So we had the world heavyweight champion, Jey Uso. He made his way. He emerged from the concourse, headed to the ring. Jey said that he has a big target on his back. He said, "Logan Paul has said that Jey is not championship material, and he has a glass jaw." He said they will meet face-to-face on Saturday night's main event. And then he was interrupted not by Logan Paul, but by the former world heavyweight champion, Gunther. I was not expecting this. And he entered the ring, and he was serenaded by chants of, "You tapped out." And Gunther told Jay that the unimaginable came true. Jay Uso was the world heavyweight champion. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, this really feels like the kind of promo that we should have gotten like 2 weeks ago. Why are we getting this now? Gunther said he knows what it's like to be a champion because he spent 80% of his time in the company as a champion. He said just because he understands doesn't mean that his opinion of Jay has changed. He said Jay Uso is not a natural champion like he is. He said he was surprised that Jay hasn't shared the news yet from Adam Pearce. So he will. He announced that the winner of Jey Uso against Logan Paul on Saturday night's main event will have the honor of handing over the World Heavyweight Championship to its rightful holder because he said that he is going to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship on June 9th in Phoenix, Arizona. And my first thought was, I know Money in the Bank is June 7th in Los Angeles, California. And I know that 7 + 2 = 9, which means that's a Raw episode, and that is indeed the Raw after Money in the Bank. Gunther will get his rematch for the World Heavyweight Championship. He said he hopes that it's Jay because he would love nothing more than to shut Jay up and the people as well for good by reminding Jay of his place. And this pissed off Jay Uso. And he took offense at Gunther talking about his place. Jay said that he was walking it back and he would walk it back to the same way he did at WrestleMania by walking out as the World Heavyweight Champion. Today's episode is sponsored by Factor. You know, we're heading into the summer weather soon, which means beach bodies, which also means there's never been a better time to start eating healthier if you're not already doing so. It's not just good for your figure, but your health as well. And you can make this your best season yet with nutritious 2-minute meals from Factor. Eating well has never been this easy. Just heat it and eat it and give yourself more time to do what you want. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, making them perfect for any active lifestyle. Here in New York, you know, we're seeing days in the 70s, approaching the 80s soon. So get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. With 45 weekly menu options, you can choose gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, and premium dinners, not to mention guilt-free snacks and desserts. See, now you're talking my love language. It's easy to savor more this spring. Factor meals pack in the flavor without all the fuss. Now, one of my favorite recent meals from Factor was the Ropa Vieja Chicken Thigh Bowl. I love me some chicken. It was also a spicy sweet potatoes and peanut sauce meal with coconut rice and roasted green beans that was very good. But my favorite by far was the sesame teriyaki filet mignon. It's pretty mind-blowing that it takes so little time to prepare a meal this good. You don't just want to feel like you're eating healthier. You want to actually enjoy what you're eating. And this was delicious. They only take minutes to make, which is good for me since I'm streaming most nights, as you know. So I don't want to spend forever eating dinner, making dinner before I have to go to work. Factor takes care of that for me. And it can take care of it for you, too, with this exclusive offer for Sound Off listeners. Get started at factormeals.com/solomonster50off and use code solomonster50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code solomonster50off at factormeals.com/solomonster50off for 50% off plus free shipping. I have to say this knock on this segment here. It is very tiresome to see them still playing the same tired story of Jey Uso doesn't belong. Jey Uso is not world championship material. You're just not fit for the role, Jay. Even though we are now weeks removed from WrestleMania, and Jey Uso is indeed the world heavyweight champion right now. Like, as a story going into WrestleMania, it worked. Like, it worked fine. I mean, whether you were into it or not is not the point. But like, as a story, you could tell that story coming out of the Royal Rumble, where he was like a wild card, and now he's going into WrestleMania to wrestle this man who's been a champion 80% of his time on the roster, and Jey Uso has never been a world champion before. And you could tell that story that this man is being doubted by everybody. He's having self-doubts. His brother had to talk some sense into him. Like, you're right. You can't win the world title. You gotta find your inner Oos. You know, you got to find the right-hand man. That story worked going into WrestleMania. Then he won. That story is over. It's done. Because we went through weeks of it. Right? People doubting me. I don't want to hear it anymore. We've moved on from that. He proved all the naysayers and all the doubters wrong. And in this segment alone, he mentioned that Logan Paul is saying that you're not a world champion. And Gunther is back now and saying you're not a world champion. It's like, what are we doing here? We already went through this 2 months ago. So that I didn't like. But on a positive note, I will say this, though. This was the best that Jey Uso has sounded on the microphone and the most comfortable that he has sounded on the microphone in forever. And certainly since he won the championship, I thought he was really good here. Now, as far as them doing the championship match on Raw and not on the PLE next month, this is what happens when they have those five match. You know, at some point, WWE probably will have 5 week PLEs. We're getting our first 2 night SummerSlam this year. It's probably a little experiment. WrestleMania, give it 5 years. WrestleMania will be a 5 week extravaganza. But no, these five-match PLEs that, you know, Triple H likes to do, assuming Money in the Bank is also five matches like Backlash was, you got two Money in the Bank ladder matches. Let's say Roman Reigns is back in time for Money in the Bank, and maybe he won't be, but I think he will. And maybe they do a tag match, right? That would be three. John Cena will likely be on the show defending the WWE Championship. That's four. So that leaves room for one more match. You're going to throw another title match on there. It's like they're going to want to spread the love out a little bit. They're going to want to spread things out. And it's not the worst idea in the world to have a major attraction for your television show coming out of the PLE. So I don't really have an issue with them doing that. It is a little strange that you would announce it for Raw so far in advance and not actually Money in the Bank. But on that show, again, two ladder matches. And if they have another big attraction, you almost don't even have to do it on that show. And you save the attraction for 48 hours later. So I don't really have much of an issue with it. Them doing it right after Money in the Bank, though, is interesting. Of all the events, it's Money in the Bank. And it could mean that the reason it's being done this way is that whoever wins Money in the Bank is going to cash in or attempt to cash in their contract during that title match or after that title match on Raw that Monday. Now, it's impossible to know who's going to be in the match because they haven't even started qualifying matches yet. Qualifying matches for Money in the Bank are going to start next week. So without knowing who's actually going to be in there, I can't sit here and really make sense of like, oh, okay, that, okay, so-and-so is in the match. So, oh, I could definitely see them cashing in, you know, because they're a Raw guy or I don't know. I don't know who's going to be in the match and if it's going to make any sense. But that is what made me think. Maybe that's part of the reason why it's happening right after Money in the Bank, and maybe there'll be a cash-in attempt. I was just talking about Gunther on the Sound Off yesterday, coming out of Backlash. I don't know what direction is there for him outside of Goldberg, because Goldberg is having his retirement match in the next few months. And the direction has always been rumored to be very, and even Goldberg has said, it looks like Gunther might be the guy, but he's not sure. They haven't told him anything. It's like he's just going to show up and, or Triple H will give him the call and say, okay, here's the guy. And Goldberg will be like, okay. I don't think Goldberg is lobbying for anybody. Let's put it that way. Because there was a time where I thought Bron Breakker was the perfect final opponent for Goldberg. And Goldberg puts him over. And Bron Breakker is involved in a completely different story now to where I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. And if it's not going to be him, then it should be Gunther. Of course, I say that now. If Goldberg wins his fucking retirement match, I'm going to regret saying that. But that would seem to be the only direction for Gunther that is pretty clear at this point. And that match is still probably a few months away. What do you do with him in the meantime? That's why I said I was very surprised when they hit his music and he came out during this segment, because I didn't think they were going to a rematch with him and Jey Uso. And if they were going to do it, they would have done it at Backlash. Instead, we got him against a fucking announcer. And now they're going back to him and Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. The one thing I don't want to see is Gunther losing to Jey Uso again, let alone losing to him clean. Now, if you wanted Goldberg to get involved and cost Gunther the match, you have to come up with a reason for it. Why would Goldberg all of a sudden, unsolicited, show up and cost Gunther his match? There's got to be a reason for it. Otherwise, it doesn't really make any sense. So my fear is that they do this match and there's no shenanigans and he just beats him again, which would be a fucking awful idea. And I really don't think they're going to do that. So they must have something planned here, some angle planned or some kind of big finish planned, because that's the one thing I absolutely do not want to see them do. We already saw Gunther go in there and tap out, and not just tap out, but tap out quickly. Like as soon as he put the hold on, like he was tapping out. I have no interest in seeing that again. So we'll see what they do as far as how Gunther is going to lose, because he is not winning the World Heavyweight Championship back. I don't really see that happening. If he did win the World Heavyweight Championship back, I certainly would be very happy to see that and very surprised. And also, if Goldberg and Gunther is the play, let's say for SummerSlam, it doesn't have to be a World Heavyweight Championship match. Like, that would also be very dumb. I don't think he's winning the title back. Now, at this point in the show, they aired a tribute to Sabu with Michael Cole and Pat McAfee narrating some words live. Yeah, sometimes they do these pre-recorded video packages. And here they were narrating over like a slideshow of images. They also aired a graphic for him at the beginning of the show. I didn't mention that, but at the very top of the program, they did have a graphic for him. I talked about the death of Sabu on the Sound Off yesterday. Literally, as I was sitting here recording the podcast, I got a text message from my friend Noah Mark, pointing out to me there was a tweet out about Sabu passing away. And I said, what? So I went online, I stopped what I was doing, and I went to go check, and sure enough, it was true. So you got my real-time reaction to the news, because that's the first I had heard of it, and then I spoke about Sabu for about 10 or 12 minutes. That's on Sound Off 912. It's up on the channel, too, if you wanted my thoughts on his passing. Jackie Redmond was in the back, and she was interviewing Ludwig Kaiser about how we have not seen him very much in these last few months. He's sort of disappeared, which he has. And then we heard a clanging sound in the background, like some pipes got dropped on the ground. And the camera rushes over to find Jey Uso laid out with Bron Breakker standing over him. And Breakker walked away with Paul Heyman. Sami Zayn comes in, CM Punk comes in to go check on Jey. So I guess that's what Rollins told Bron Breakker to have fun with. What did he do? We didn't even see what he did. Did he hit him with a pipe? Did he knock him into the pipes? He hit him once and left him laying. He wasn't even unconscious. And then he walked away. If this man really wanted to have fun, he would have speared him through the fucking wall or something. I would have expected more out of this. That's all they did here. Then we had AJ Styles one-on-one against Finn Balor. Only the fourth time in their careers that these two men have been matched up against each other one-on-one. Balor had JD McDonagh and Carlito in his corner. No Dominic, which Michael Cole made a point to mention repeatedly. Cole referred to AJ and Balor as former leaders of the Bullet Club. Styles was on offense until he got distracted by McDonagh on the apron. Cole referred to this as the first distraction of the... I love this. It's the first distraction of the match, because Michael Cole's not a dummy and he knows it's a Judgment Day match. And every fucking Judgment Day match, there are multiple instances of interference here. It's like the House of Torture. So he's like, the first interference of this match. There would be more. They dropped each other with a double clothesline that led to the second commercial break of this match. Styles hit a superplex as they came back. They traded strikes until AJ caught Balor's Pele kick attempt and applied a calf crusher, but Balor was able to get a rope break. Balor hit a sling blade and a drop kick, but AJ avoided a coup de grace. And Styles tried the calf crusher, but before Balor could break it, AJ hit a Styles clash, only got two. Carlito then hopped up on the apron for our second referee distraction of the match. Styles knocked down McDonough, but the distraction allowed Balor to hit an elevated reverse DDT, or as he calls it, the 1916. Suddenly, Penta appears on the barricade, standing on top of the barricade outside the ring. He takes out McDonough because Carlito ducked out of the way at the last second, but then Carlito got dropped with a Mexican destroyer on the floor. In the ring, Styles hit Balor with a phenomenal forearm, and he got the pin. So Penta here gets a measure of revenge on the Judgment Day for what they did to him at Backlash. Styles and Balor, it really was nothing special. They had a good match. Nothing you have to really go out of your way to see. And the crowd was very, very quiet for this match. To be fair to them, they were quiet for most of what they saw on this show, including the main event. This was hardly the only instance of the crowd sitting on their hands for a match on this show. They show Becky Lynch in the back. She was making her way out towards the ring. In the background, they show Karrion Kross, and it looked like Karrion Kross was handing out his own t-shirts to Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Now, let me stop here. I don't understand how this man is still relegated to a 3-second background segment. And this is hardly the first time, right? He's in these background segments sometimes. Why is he still relegated to segments like this after he had finally built up a little bit of momentum? I don't want to say like the crowd was behind him the way they were behind Daniel Bryan in the Yes Movement fucking 12 years ago. I'm not saying that, but like for the first time in his entire run in this company, it felt like he was really building up a little bit of momentum, and he had a buzz, and he had people talking about him, and his documentary came out online, and he had that like work shoot promo coming out of WrestleMania, and it's like, all right, they might have something here finally. Everything else they've tried hasn't worked, but they might finally have something here. Let's see where they go with this. And that's all he did on the show tonight. And I guarantee you next week, even if he has like a better segment than what we had here, it's not going to be much. Whatever little bit of buzz there was around this guy, they're going to completely squander it. They're not doing anything with it. They're not taking it seriously. It's just a complete waste. It doesn't matter what Kross goes out there and does on social media, because if you're not involving him in something significant and meaningful on the actual television show, it don't mean shit. Now he's in the back and he's handing t-shirts out to the New Day, and people are like, oh, what does this mean? What does it mean? Who gives a shit? Because it's not even going to be followed up on, so who gives a fuck? That's not what I was talking about when I said you need to get him on the show more often and follow up on this. That's not exactly what I had in mind here. This is not going to lead to anything. Becky Lynch was out to the ring to talk about her loss to Lyra Valkyria at Backlash. Becky said that she was not beaten at Backlash. The fans didn't believe her, but one of them was taken to the hospital, that being Lyra, while the other one went on their big bus, had a shower, and a glass of tequila while basking in her brilliance. She didn't mention if it was Terramana, but she went on her bus and she had a drink. After everything Lyra did to her, attacking her character for weeks, Becky brought out the best in her and gave her the best match of Lyra's career. Lyra has never mattered more, she said, than she does right now. She also realized how much she was manipulated not only by Valkyria, but by the fans. She walked away for almost a year because the fans basically asked her to. She saw their reaction after the last time she won the women's world title, and if she wasn't there to win the title, then there was no point in her being there. She said that she had always been for the people because she had them to thank for her career. They saw themselves in her, and they were all in this together. And then something happened. She won. They couldn't see themselves in her anymore because they were failures, and they hated what they could not understand. One of Becky's friends asked if she missed it while she was gone. And she says she missed being in the ring, but she liked herself more now because she didn't have to listen to the fans tell her what she was about. She heard the same lies from the one person in Lyra that she had hope for in this business. So it all changes from here on out. From now on, she says, whatever you say I am, I am. So I'm selfish? Yes. I'm greedy? Yes, I am. I'm cutthroat? Yes. All the girls in the back who were happy that I was gone because they thought that they were safe were finally going to find out what it feels like to be held down by the man. It's a good promo. I don't know where it's leading. There was no Lyra on this show. I do wonder if she was hurt because she was really holding her nose, you know, at the end of that match on Saturday. Even though Becky put her in a fucking arm bar, she was still holding her nose the entire time. And I didn't see any kind of injury updates on her, so I don't know if she, you know, did get a broken nose or what the case may be, because it was a little weird. Like, the winner of the match wasn't on the show tonight, but the loser of the match was on the show tonight cutting a promo, which was a little strange. So maybe Lyra really is hurt. But, you know, this, her delivery was fine. She got all fiery there towards the end. Her putting the women's division on notice, the issue with her and Lyra can't be over. So I don't know if, you know, if we see Lyra back on the show next week or the week after that, does Becky attack her again? I mean, I just can't imagine that the issue between the two of them is over, even though Lyra did beat her. It wasn't like a decisive win. They were trading roll-ups back and forth. It was almost like a flash pin fluke kind of thing. But, you know, Becky is not going to let that go. So I would imagine their rivalry will continue. I still think there is a chance we get a rematch on Saturday night's main event. But I guess at this point, it really just depends on, you know, whether or not Lyra is even medically cleared, you know, if she is hurt. We got a Rusev video promo. He said that he didn't want to do what he did to Otis. He said he didn't want any of this. He said he just wanted to go home and be rich. Really? It's pretty much what he's been doing the last 3.5 years. I don't know why he stopped. Why would he even bother coming back if that's all he wanted to do? He said he was also once programmed by lesser people, and he can't leave his brothers until they all wake up. He asked if they think the fans care about that they miss their family and, you know, that it's their choice to hurt or to be hurt. He recalled Akira Tozawa stepping up while the fans cheered. He said wrestlers let the sheep control the wolves. He said he would rather fail than fall into the abyss. The Abyss, by the way, being AEW, which is basically what that reference to the Abyss was in his last video promo. He says he would rather fail than go back to AEW. That's how I interpreted what he said here. Now, backstage live, Adam Pearce was talking with Tozawa. Natalya was there as well, Maxine Dupri. Pearce said that he couldn't give Tozawa the match he wanted against Rusev because he is not medically cleared. Sheamus showed up. Sheamo. Here on the show. And Sheamus said he knew Tozawa would give Rusev hell once he was cleared. And the two of them bumped fists. After Alpha Academy left, Sheamus spoke to Adam Pearce and proposed a match against Grayson Waller. Now, do you remember earlier when I mentioned the segment during the commercial break where Kathy Kelly was interviewing Austin Theory and Grayson Waller? And Theory informed Waller that he had gotten him a match with Sheamus. Well, I said that I was going to come back to it. Well, I'm coming back to it now. Because when Sheamus asked Adam Pearce for a match against Grayson Waller, Adam Pearce acted like this was the first time that this idea had even been mentioned. And he granted him the match. Even though we were already told earlier in the night that the match had already been made. It was double booked. They just booked it again. I have no idea what this was about. I seriously, how does one hand not know what the other hand is doing? Like, how does something like that even happen? I felt like I'm watching some bad Back to the Future sequel here. I'm more interested in this little tease, which is how I took it, of a match between Rusev and Sheamus. We had Sheamus here being friendly with Tozawa and saying, I know you're going to kill it with Rusev. when you guys are in the ring together. So are we looking at a situation where when we get the eventual Rusev and Tozawa match and Rusev is just laying waste to this guy, Sheamus comes out and makes the save? I think Sheamus as the first real program, first real feud for Rusev is a great idea. And I think those matches could be a lot of fun. And the two of them are like best friends. They were both part of the League of Nations together many years ago. But I think, you know, behind the scenes, they're very good friends. And I think that could be a lot of fun. So hopefully that's going to be the first like real Rusev feud that we get. And they close the show with the ladies. It was Rhea Ripley and the Women's World Champion, Io Sky, taking on Roxanne Perez and Julia in Julia's in-ring Raw debut. And this woman gets the main event spot. You'll love to see it. The heels were in control through a commercial break. Right before the break, they were outside the ring, and Julia gave Io Sky a drop kick, just like a standing, like front face drop kick on the floor. And Io sold this like she had been bumped by the Strowman Express. The way that she went, flew backwards and bounced off the mats outside. Oh, it was great. And just the idea that I'm watching Io Sky and Julia in the main event of an episode of Monday Night Raw is just wild to me. So Ripley made a hot tag when they came back. She gave Roxanne a razor's edge and then a running kick when she popped up. Only got a two count. Perez brought Ripley off the top rope later with a Hurricane Rana. Julia gave Rhea a vertical suplex before Roxanne hit a springboard moonsault for a two count. Io made a hot tag and hit Julia with a missile dropkick. They all traded moves back and forth until Io hit her moonsault, but Roxanne was able to break up the cover. Julia tripped Ripley off the apron before hitting Io with an avalanche butterfly suplex and then a brainbuster. Rhea, though, broke up the cover. Ripley pushed Io out of the way of a Roxanne Perez flying crossbody, and then Perez wiped out Julia by accident. Ripley hit Julia with Riptide while Io held down Roxanne, and Rhea was able to pin Julia. When the match was over, Io and Rhea, they're posing together, and Rhea is looking up at the Women's World Championship, and then she's looking at Io, and Io is looking at her, and they're both looking at the belt, and they're teasing that these issues between these two women coming out of WrestleMania are not over yet, and Rhea wants a rematch very soon for that Women's World title. And that's how they went off the air. There were chunks of this match here where it almost turned into like a tornado match and the referee just sort of lost control. But this was very good. Again, even though the crowd was very quiet for it, they were out there and I thought that they were flying all over the place and they were doing a lot of stuff. There was always a lot of action going on here. Never really a dull moment. So I enjoyed this. This was very good. Four of the very best in the division. Doesn't matter if you're talking about Raw, SmackDown, NXT. You got Rhea, you got Io, Io's like the best in the company anyway. And then you throw in Roxanne, you throw in Julia. I mean, you could pick a few others, of course, that you can pluck from NXT, like Stephanie and Jordan. I mean, the talent supply there is just endless. But four of the very best in the division right there in the entire company. But we got to get my girl Julia some wins. Please, for the love of God, this woman has not won a match on television since early February. Okay, she is winless in 3 months. Not good. I know she was in the main event tonight. She's doing well, but you got to win. It's been 3 months. We got to start giving her some wins. That has to change. And you know, there's talk now. I should bring this up. Because I do think it's relevant to the fact that, you know, they had the women in the main event tonight. And we've been seeing some of these NXT faces pop up on mainly Raw, not even Raw and SmackDown, mainly on Raw. But there was a news report today that the all-women's Evolution PLE, Evolution 2, which was rumored for July 5th in Connecticut, is actually planned, not confirmed, but planned to take place the following weekend, which is the weekend of July 12th. And the reason why that is significant is because July 12th is not only Saturday night's main event, but earlier that afternoon, because it's not running at the same time, earlier that afternoon is the AEW All In Texas show, their biggest show of the year. And it just so happens that WWE now is talking about booking Evolution for Atlanta, Georgia, if not that very same day, and it would have to be during the day because, again, they have a fucking Saturday night's main event that night, more likely it would be that Sunday, I'm guessing. Probably that Sunday night. I don't know why they would even want to run Saturday itself. I mean, there's one very good reason why they would want to run Saturday itself. But you're probably going to want some of those women on Saturday night's main event. So my guess would be it would be the 13th, but it could very well be the 12th, even if it's the 13th. Like, we know the games that WWE plays with AEW, okay? People have talked about it or danced around it, or they're like, yeah, that's a conspiracy theory. No, it's not. They do this shit on purpose. And it is so transparent why they do this shit. It is unbelievable. And I actually feel bad for the women, because if they choose to do that Evolution show on that Saturday but do it in the afternoon, I think that's a real slap in the face to the women in this company, because they are setting them up. Now there's going to be this direct competition between the shows. And All In, you know, for AEW is going to be a pretty big show. And so now if, let's say, Evolution doesn't do as well viewership-wise as it otherwise would, you know, is that going to reflect badly on the women? It could. It could. It just feels like it's being used as a pawn in a larger game that WWE loves to play. And I think it's just bullshit. But it's so fucking transparent what they're doing here. Even if they do it that Sunday, they're filling up that entire weekend with shit. And there's a very clear reason why that's happening. So we'll see what the final date actually ends up being. But or what I'm going to do, because I'm going to be in Texas, because we got House of Glory that Friday. I'll be in Texas. I don't know what I'm going to be able to cover or review, if anything. I don't know what's going on that weekend. So, of course, they're planning like wrestling at all hours of that weekend. So that's going to be a mess. Anyway, next Monday, qualifying matches begin for Money in the Bank. It's always good to get qualifying matches. At least they're matches with meaning. And we'll find out who's going to be in this tournament. They didn't say if it's just going to be, men's matches or women's matches next week. So it may be a combination. Maybe one men's match, one women's match. We'll see. What did you think of Raw from Louisville? 53.8% thumbs up for tonight's show. 31.4% thumbs in the middle, and 14.8% thumbs down is the score for Raw. That's an overall positive score, not a very enthusiastic one on the thumbs up side anyway. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health awareness has become a big thing in recent years. I feel like we hear more about it now than we ever did 10 or 20 years ago, and that's a good thing. But there's still room for improvement. 26% of Americans who took part in one recent survey say they've avoided seeking mental health support because they're afraid of being judged. And when people hesitate to get the help they need, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their family, their friends, even their coworkers. This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's encourage everyone to take care of their well-being and break this ridiculous stigma that still exists about therapy and seeking help from others when you think you need it. Therapy offers a ton of benefits for your mental health, from coping skills to stress management, teaching you how to strengthen your existing relationships and remove barriers to you forming new ones. And it can also help you process past traumas in your life, no matter how big or small they may be. BetterHelp has, for more than a decade, helped match people with the right therapist from their growing network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. It's also fully online, making it convenient and affordable at a time when things seem to be getting increasingly unaffordable. You also don't have to feel committed to one therapist if you want to change to a new one for any reason. BetterHelp gives you the option to do that at no extra cost. We're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Michael says, get Cross for Money in the Bank. He should be. I don't know if he would win, but get him a spot in Money in the Bank. I mean, to not try to follow up in some meaningful way is just crazy to me. I don't understand it. I really don't. Hey, Celerot. What's going on, Celerot? If you see a crime happen at the Apple store, it says, what does it make you? It makes you an eyewitness, he says. Get it? An eyewitness? Thank you, Celerot. Actually, we had a whole bunch of messages come in before Celerot. I should probably get to those first. Ron. I don't get calling up Roxanne and Julia just to feed them to Io and Rhea every week. I guess it's fitting that Roxanne was talking with Pin Balor, you know? And hey, maybe that's what they were having their conversation about, you know? They have something in common. Pin Balor and Roxanne Perez. Dry Chicken says, after the CM Punk segment, this Dry Chicken is currently watching New Japan Best of the Super Juniors. Well, enjoy. And then we had Celerot's message. So thank you, Celerot. Duff's Vids. What did Simba say to the slow bus driver, Mufasa? And eBay is so useless. I tried looking up for lighters, and all they had was 13,749 matches. Okay. I must be missing something here. Mr. Rod with a $20 super chat. I stand corrected. Congrats to the Knicks on the win tonight. I said Boston in six, but it looks like Knicks in five. Again, congrats. They were down by a bit, but they made their comeback, as they've done quite a few times recently. And the Yata Garatsu, thank you for the channel membership. Alexander with a $9.99. I have a feeling if Julia officially makes the main roster, Triple H is not going to know what to do with her. They are going to focus on Vicar, and she's going to get lost in the shuffle with these losses. That's why she's got to start winning matches soon. You don't want to establish somebody by having them lose all the time. This was just one match. This was her first Raw match, so it's fine. I just was kind of stunned when I checked and I saw that she hasn't won. I mean, if you want to take out, like, tag team matches, she hasn't won a match since Vengeance Day. I mean, come on. Base Beer says, you can be little and fat. Well, I guess that's true. I mean, you can be short. You can be short and fat. That is true. Duff's Vids, what's the best way to carve wood? Whittle by whittle. Whittle by whittle. Oh, Jason Tatum got injured? I didn't know that. Jason Tatum got injured. Well, Boston is fucked now. If he's hurt with any great significance, then forget about it. Sidro. Neighbor just banged on the wall at 4:20 a.m. Lucky I was up playing music. He shouted, can we have a little respect, please? So I shouted, I'm not a big Aretha Franklin fan, but okay, this one's for you. Sounds like something I would do. That was great. That was actually very great. He tore his Achilles. Now, is that the rumor that he tore his Achilles, or is that actually confirmed? That's pretty bad if that's what happened. Q Moore. 48 months. Look at this guy. 48 months of channel membership. Marquan, rest in peace, Sabu. My favorite Sabu moment was prior to ECW Barely Legal. He called out Taz saying, you effing midget, get out of here. Yeah, unfortunately, on social media in recent years, he had other stuff to say about Taz that was Not very nice, and I will not repeat. I think my favorite Sabu moment is when he fell off the R on the Raw logo. I still think about that. Duff's Vids. Why did the God of Thunder need to stretch his leg muscles? He was a little Thor. My God. Sidro, why did Banana go to the doctor? He wasn't peeling well. And fingers have fingertips, but your toes don't have toe tips. Yet you can tiptoe, but not tip finger. Also, he says, I joined a gym and said to the trainer, I want to impress beautiful girls. Which machine should I use? He said, try the ATM outside. That is undoubtedly true. See, words of wisdom there from Sidro. Duff's Vids, what's made of leather and sounds like a sneeze? A shoe. Okay. Alexander of WWE wanted to work us. They should have fake released Gable so it would confuse people that El Grande Americano was not Chad. No, actually, he should have lost like a Loser Leaves Town match. Like a Loser Leaves WWE match, and then he reappears. It's like the, what was the gimmick that Dusty did? The Pale Rider? Was it the Pale Rider? What the hell did they, what did he call himself? I forgot what he called himself. He came back with like a mask. I think he was the Pale Rider. Duff's Vids, what is the most reliable part of your body? Your fingers. You can always count on them. It's true. Bobby's World. Cornette said Wardlow should be waiting at the top of Everest for Darby and powerbomb him off the top of the mountain. I say Darby still kicks out at 2. Oh, he would totally no-sell it. The Midnight Rider. What? I called him the Pale Rider. Where the hell did I get that from? Blue Onion says the Pale Rider was Mordecai. Okay. I don't know why I thought he was the Pale Rider, the Midnight Rider. Duff's Vids, did you hear about the fire at the shoe factory? Unfortunately, many souls were lost. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Duff's. I thought of Mordecai. You know how many people probably think of Mordecai in a given day? None. So why did I think of Mordecai? Sidro, thieves have stolen ship's entire supply of energy drinks. I don't know how they sleep at night. And how do you turn deviled eggs into regular eggs? An exorcism. Dude, that's awful. Like, that's really... Like, if I had... Not even tomatoes. I feel like if I had knives, I would throw them at you. Alexander, the mid-card women's titles need more love on these PLEs. I still wish they kept Dakota and gave her a run instead of Lyra. Well, the mid-card women's titles are not going to get any love on these PLEs so long as they do the five-match format. That's simply not going to happen. Unless you have somebody like Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair competing for those championships. That's just the way it is. As long as they stick to that format, that's not going to change. Tonga Loa Superfan. The Evolution PLE is rumored to be in July. Who is rumored to return around then? Are we heading to Tonga Loa returning at Evolution? You can't tell me that wouldn't set the internet ablaze. Unless Tonga Loa has spent his time out of the ring over the last several months undergoing certain life changes, I don't think it would make much sense for him to be at the Evolution PLE, but I don't know what he's been doing, so Maybe he's been up to stuff that I just am not aware of. But we'll have to change his name there from Tongaloa to Tangaloa. Sidro, crossing a vampire with a snowman gives you frostbite. Very good. Larry Jester, I've been having sinus congestion issues. Breathing snot has been easy. Oh, breathing snot. I fucked up the joke. Breathing snot been easy. Also, I think my ass-kicking days are over. The last mule kicked back. You the man. Man, I messed up his first joke. Breathing's not been easy, he said. Thank you, Larry. Angel, with 6 months of channel membership, says, go Mets and Knicks. Looking forward to TNT tomorrow. You guys are by far the best duo in the business. Thank you, Angel. I appreciate that. We've been killing it lately. I'm going to do it again tomorrow night. EJ Slemp says, hey, just making sure you got my Money in the Bank 2011 story I sent earlier today. I believe I saw it, yes. I didn't open it yet, but it's sitting in my inbox, which is quite flooded. Blue Jay, 3 vs. 2 at first. Is there a third man? Interesting. No, there is not a third man. I saw people talking about that earlier in the show because of the opening segment. You had Seth and Braun, and they were outnumbered by Punk and Jay and Sammy. And I thought maybe Logan Paul would show up. They were going to give us a 6-man tag or something. And there was no Logan Paul on the show. But yeah, again, the third man business. I'm not saying that Heyman wouldn't add a third person at some point to their group, but it's not. Again, I don't think Sami Zayn is going to be the third man. I don't think there is a third man. You got to give up this third man stuff. I've been hearing it since before WrestleMania, when people were so gung-ho and excited about The Rock and Cena and who's going to be the third man. Is it going to be Rollins? Is it going to be somebody else? Like, you got to give up this third man stuff. Jeremy Dyer, we're getting Goldberg versus John Cena at SummerSlam, and we're going to like it. That sounds like a horrendous idea. Can you imagine, like, this version of John Cena, who is as limited as I've ever seen him in what he does in the ring, against a retiring 50-something-year-old Goldberg? It'll end up being John Cena's retirement match. That sounds like an awful idea. Chad Miller's security was being jerks, but Becky Lynch got mad at the Becky Hogan chants that I started. Well, because she's a heel. She's supposed to get angry at it. As long as you're chanting something at her as a heel, trust me, she don't care. That's exactly what she wants. There will be a third man, says Nick. Yes, eventually, but like people are talking about it like it's something that's imminent or might have, you know, been teased for like Saturday night's main event or something coming up very soon. I don't think so. You know, people keep mentioning, somebody in the chat just mentioned, Bronson Reed. I don't know what his status is as far as his injury. I'm not of the impression that he's expected back imminently. Could it be in the next 2-3 months? Maybe. I've seen no updates from him or rumors about his injury status. Reed in that group absolutely could work. Even though Breaker is kind of like the enforcer already, and they don't really need someone like Bronson Reed. For him, it would be a great spot to be in. And I think it would work. But I don't know if that's what they have in mind for him. We got Mark. It's the mid-2010s, having a blast drunk in South America, and I attempt to perform a stone-cold stunner on a glass window. Who am I? The Solemn Monster. Well, actually, it was the late 2010s. And I was sober. I was sober enough. I can't claim that I was blackout drunk and blame it on that. I just was being a little careless. And my knee has been bothering me ever since. But thank you for reminding me. EJ says, my special needs cousin loves this dumb joke. Why did the cow go to the hospital? Because he was sick. You know what? Sometimes it's the simple ones that get a chuckle out of me. I mean, that's basically like, why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. Why else would he cross the road? Is he stupid? Base Bear is Vato Sting against Biker Taker. Pick a stipulation. Oh my god. Biker Taker and Vato Sting. It has to be some kind of street fight, no? You gotta have it as some kind of... what was that parking lot brawl that John Cena had with Eddie Guerrero once where they had all the cars like in a circle? Something like that. Celerot, why didn't the skeleton climb the mountain? It didn't have the guts. Base Beerus, we're due for some new emojis. Vicar, Dom, and Braun, maybe. There's nothing really distinct about it. I mean, I guess Dom has the mustache. I don't know, we'll see. I'll mention, maybe if Steve is with us, Steve Mello, who has worked on the other emojis for me. I don't know if they're distinctive enough. The emojis are very small. They're very, very tiny. So, like, they have to be distinctive in some way or else they don't really... It's hard to know who or what they're even supposed to be. But we could think of some new ones. Yo-Yo Sup says, buy, sell, rent, Braun, Dom, Vicar. I mean, I like all three of them. But if you're asking me in terms of like attractions and if I'm a promoter and I'm trying to make money and I was going to build around someone, Braun, Vicar, and then Dom in that order. Retro KOH, 26 months of membership, daily request for a Bronze Breaker super chat. Also, I stole last week's Saturday joke over the weekend. My students loved it. I'm sure there are people who will steal jokes that are mentioned here on this stream and they will use it in their everyday life. Yo-Yo Sub, buy or sell, Dom with Liv or Dom with Rhea? Dom with Rhea. Alex, does it bother you that they just randomly gave us an AJ Styles-Finn Balor match on a random episode of Raw instead of turning it into a potential mid-card feud of the summer? No, not really. Not at this point. I mean, it might have bothered me 5 years ago, 7 years ago, but at this point, I don't think there's really any juice to it. You know, especially the way they've been booking these two guys for the last few years, it just doesn't mean anything anymore. We got Tassie. If Triple H could still wrestle, would you be interested? No. Thank you for the question. EJ Slamp, The Third Man is a great movie, by the way. One of Orson Welles' best performances. Never saw it. Maynard, why do top talent have buses if they don't work house shows anymore? Because they're still traveling. I mean, they still got to get around. So maybe they're not, taking a plane from whatever the city is that they're in. Maybe where they're headed to is within driving distance. Instead of flying, they're going to take their luxury bus. I don't know. They all have their own reasons. Most of them got those buses when they were still doing more house shows, though. And I think in a lot of cases now they're not doing as many house shows, and they still have the buses. And then they're not going to give them up. I'd ask for a bus. Even if I only used it four times a month, I would ask for a bus as part of my new contract if I were a top star. It's a hell of a lot more comfortable than traveling without one. Yo-Yo says, what do you think about the Alexa Charlotte backstage segment? I know it's just fantasy booking, but do you think it will lead to something big? I don't know. I have no idea. It was one little segment in the back. I can't extrapolate much more from it than what we saw. It was the first tease of something they're doing. Maybe some kind of an alliance between them. But I honestly have no idea. I will wait to see it play out and find out just like the rest of you. Hydrograd says, Punks, you gotta bark all day, little doggy, or are you gonna bite line? Gotta pop out of me. Yes, he used that line on Bron Breakker tonight. Literally just rewatched Reservoir Dogs over the weekend. Still my favorite Tarantino movie. It's a very good one. Still love me some Pulp Fiction, though. Base Beerus, buy or sell Razor Ramon or Roddy Piper? Both are legends. Yes. But I'm buying on Roddy. I'm selling on Razor. And Yo-Yo says, going to my first wrestling show this Wednesday for AEW. Going alone since all my boys give me shit. Great seats for cheap. Going to have a good time. Well, Yo-Yo, I hope you have a great time at the show. That's the thing about AEW. You know, you can clown on them all you want to in the attendance. But the bottom line is, if you just want to go to a wrestling show and it's coming to town, WWE is going to cost you a fortune. And you never know what you're going to get. You might get a great show. You might get a boring show, right? You don't know what you're going to get. But you're going to pay an arm and a leg, especially if you're going with multiple people, if you're going with kids. You're probably not going to get a better deal, honestly, than what you'll get in an AEW show, you know, for the price they charge for their tickets relative to WWE. So enjoy the show. I'm hoping for a good one because I'll be here covering it on Wednesday. And Maynard says, should AJ Styles be in a program or is he cooked? No, I wouldn't say he's cooked. He's not the same AJ Styles when he first came into WWE. I mean, he's 9 years older. And working the style that he worked in his career is going to take a toll on your body. More than it would if he was, you know, working a more basic, grounded style. So, is he cooked? No, he's not cooked. There are people that you can watch in the ring, and you're like, okay, this guy's cooked. I don't think that when I watch AJ Styles. Eminem says, I did not hit her. Oh, hi, Mark. Lisa, you're tearing me apart. What is this? Everything is fine. Cheap, 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 cheap. I have no idea what that is the lyrics to. Or if it's a quote from a movie. A terrible movie. I don't know. But Eminem, thank you for the 25 for the Brie mode. Our first and only Brie mode of the night. Well, we hit the regular goal. So thank you for the 450 plus likes, which means we get one round to be the booker and we're going to try to make it a good one. So let's do it. The Room. People are saying The Room. Huh? I've never seen The Room. I'm in a room right now. But I've never seen The Room. Couldn't tell you anything about it. I can tell you one thing about it. I'm guessing that it's about a room. How's that for insight?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
It is the best terrible movie ever. Well, then I can't wait not to watch it. Time to be the booker. Let's get to work here. Make the magic happen. Randy Orton forces Adam Pearce to add a stipulation to your match is the first thing we land on here in Be the Booker. We're going to the stipulations for this match. Do you believe this? We have to add a stipulation for our tag team match. And so we shall. It will be a tag team Hell in a Cell match. There have not been very many of these. There have been a few. Actually, New Day and Usos had a great one back in 2017. We're having ourselves a tag team Hell in a Cell match. Here we go. This should be good. And we have the Von Erich boys. Kerry Von Erich and Kevin Von Erich are on one side of the cell. And on the other side of the cell, we have, oh no, Rick Steiner and the legendary Judy Bagwell. Against the Von Erich boys. Hell in a Cell. The one and only Judy Bagwell. And yes, your eyes do not deceive you. In Rick's hand is a WCW tag team title belt. She had one too. It was brief, but she had one too. Women's Be the Booker. Judy's going to have to carry that one. We have Cora Jade, or maybe we should call her by her new name, Elena Black. She's already booked a bunch of indie appearances, I noticed. She's hitting the indie scene. Cora Jade against... Oh, wow, that's eerie, okay? That is fucking eerie right there. The two women, or two of the women, who were involved in the most recent release, or releases, in WWE, Cora Jade and Gigi Dolin. They're going to be having a match on the Independence. See, the reason I was able to book it is because they're no longer in WWE. So I had to bring them in and book them myself. Gigi Dolin and Cora Jade. A battle of the releases here in Be the Booker. That's the first time that something like that has happened. That's very weird. And now, our main event of the evening. Are you ready? Liv Morgan gives you her room key. Now, pick a stipulation. This is like the third time in 2 weeks. How many times have I gotten that room key? Man, I'm loving life right now. Every week with this. I got to pick another stipulation, though. We already picked one stipulation. Now we got to pick another. We got to pick a stip for our main event. The APA Invitational. We're back to this again. All right, then. So now we know what our main event is going to be. The APA Invitational with Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas in the main event in an APA Invitational. Against Mr. Perfect. You know, I was going, my finger was right there on the button, but then I saw Mr. Perfect. And I said to myself, Solomonster, are you really going to give Mr. Perfect the buzzer here? An APA Invitational match against Bo Dallas. And I said, how can I not? He can make it work. He can definitely make it work. The stipulation, I know. I know, not the best stipulation, but we can make it work. So anyway, there you go. That's your, I hit the button there. There's your Be the Booker. We only get one round. We didn't hit the other goal tonight, but we got the one round in there. I was hoping for a clean sweep. But we're going to have to wait for another night to find out. Unless it's WrestleMania 9. That's a very good point. Taylor says, unless it's WrestleMania 9. In which case, Mr. Perfect will forget everything he's supposed to do in the match. And Bo Dallas will have to be the ring general, and he will have to lead the way. Cameron Spencer, sometimes I felt like I was the only TM61 fan. I wish they would have made it to the main roster. They would have made a big impact. Oh, is that the Mighty Don't Kneel? I don't think they would have. I don't think they would have made as big of an impact as you think they would. Alex says that July 12th weekend is going to be a thriving weekend for Solid Monsters business. Not if I'm not around to cover everything, it won't. Well, at the very least, I will be covering All In. And I don't know if I will be at All In. I may decide to just go to All In or stay in Texas, not go to All In, watch the show so that way when it ends, I could go live right away like I normally do. So that there's that to consider. And now there's talk about Sunday or Evolution or, you know, do I do a podcast that weekend? Do I fly home on Sunday? Do I fly home on Monday? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, man. Anyway, I know you guys will be here regardless. Duff's Vids, what do dads say when they enter a strip club? Twerking hard or hardly twerking? I actually don't think dads say anything when they go into a strip club. I don't think they don't go into a strip club to talk. They're not there to chat. Talking is the last thing I would want to do if I went into a strip club. Base Bearers, Big Show hit AJ Lee with the Strowman Express. Did he? I don't remember that. I know Big E caved her fucking chest in by hitting her by accident, and she basically no-sold it. She's a trooper. EJ Slemp, instead of watching The Room, watch The Disaster Artist instead, about the making of it, starring James Franco. It is fantastic. The Juliet, doing my part for a long shot, double be the booker. And rest in peace, Sabu. Thank you, Juliet. I appreciate that. It's not going to happen tonight, but thank you, brother. Am I doing a SmackDown review this week? Of course. Why wouldn't I? If you mean the SmackDown the night before All In, no. That's the whole reason I'm in Texas. I'll be there Friday night for a House of Glory show. But this week, yes, I will be here this week. And Devin from NJ, was Dr. Melfi a good therapist to Tony? I think so. I think so. And I think she knew that when she was, if you watch the show, you know she was attacked. I won't get into the graphic nature of it, but she was attacked. And not telling him was actually one of the smartest things she could have done. Because I think she knows what would have happened had she confided in him what happened to her. Eminem, the reference that I did was from The Room with Tommy Wiseau. Awesome dude, and the lyrics were from Shmo Yoho. You'll love the music on that channel. Shmo Yoho? Okay. I may have to check that out. Yankees player was injured. Is that true? What player was injured? Hey, everybody, say hello to Anthony. Anthony Mendoza just subscribed to the channel. I forgot to mention this, passed 86,600. So we are on our way towards 87,000 subscribers here on the channel. So if you are a lurker and not subscribed, now would be a good time to subscribe and get other people to subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your family. If you live at home with siblings, secretly log into their accounts without their knowledge and hit the sub button. Whatever it takes to get us to 87K, I would appreciate it. If you missed it, The Sound Off went up yesterday, episode 912, well over 2 hours long. A lot of good content there. Please go back and check that out if you missed it. We got up to number two on the charts for wrestling podcasts all across the country. We're number two in the entire United States. So I thank you for that. The next time I'm with you live, we'll be back here on the channel on Wednesday night. That'll be for the AEW Dynamite post-show. Beach Break. It's a big episode of Dynamite. We got Samoa Joe challenging John Moxley in a steel cage for the AEW World Championship. I will be live over on JD's channel for Tuesday Night Titans tomorrow. That's where you can find me. And yes, I will be here for SmackDown on Friday. So we got a full week of content coming your way. And I will see you soon. Take care, guys.